All rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, City Clerk.
Councilmember Richards.
Here.
Councilmember Bennett.
Here.
Councilmember Seves.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tempore Kasdan.
Here.
Mayor Perotti.
Here. Okay, at this time we will have public forum. Anybody that wishes to speak to anything that's not on our agenda this evening, and just to keep in mind that we are not able to discuss it with you at this time, because that wouldn't be fair to others that may want to have a discussion about the same item, but we are listening to what you have to say. And I do have a public comment from Richard Foster.
Good evening, Council. I'm concerned about reports in the media last week that after the last council meeting, a member of the public was subject to verbal abuse in the parking lot by an individual who was unhappy with the City Council's vote. This is not unsimilar to an incident where a member of the public went after a member of the Tree Commission in the parking lot, verbally abusing them. No member of the public or the staff or the City Commission should be subject to verbal abuse, called stupid, or in any manner intimidated for participating in public discourse. Perhaps we need to send the sheriff's deputy in the parking lot when individuals have done this in the past, show up at a City Council meeting. Personally, I think this individual is a public apology to the individual and to the public. Secondly, I wish to address Mr. Lanahan's statement he was terminating the farmers market and art walk in public safety donation. First of all, I would disagree with his assertion that he gets nothing from it. Hundreds of people visit the mall, and his tenant stores do these events. Secondly, a police presence certainly keeps him from needing to hire private security services so marketplace customers feel safe. This past week, some voices or comments online stories have implied that somehow Roger Seves and Michael Bennett's vote was somehow bought by political donations. And I totally disagree with this. Otherwise, one could equally argue that those who voted against the project's vote was bought by people who support their point of view. We're all free to donate to candidates who we think reflect our views on whatever the subject is, Mr. Lanahan included, and therefore how we donated shouldn't really be an issue. However, Mr. Lanahan's desire to punish a group of hardworking farmers and artists because he's angry with you is petulant at best and smacks of extortion at worst. After all, after saying he was throwing everybody out, in his second paragraph he said he had cooled down and would come back for another bite at the apple, but he didn't bother to rescind his threat of throwing out the farmers and the artists. Now, Mr. Lanahan has every right to terminate people from his property wherever he chooses. It's this linking that decision to the council's vote that becomes problematic. If he returns for the proverbial second bite of the apple, how can he expect anyone to change their vote without appearing to having given in to this threat of abusing poor little farmers and poor artists? He's sort of set himself up for defeat on this subject. Perhaps it's time for us to move on. There's other locations for the farmers market and the art walk. How can they operate under the Damocles sword of Mr. Lanahan's pleasure or displeasure with you? They don't have an iron in this fire. Secondly, it would probably be best for the city to consider moving the sheriff's substation, perhaps to the new fire station site out at Winchester Canyon. This would give the sheriffs a permanent home. The city would not need to worry about there being the sheriff being evicted at his caprice. The western end of Goleta would have a stronger police presence, and Mr. Lanahan would then have an extra rental space. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. Okay, amendments or adjustments?
Madam Mayor, we have no amendments or adjustments tonight.
Thank you. Okay, City Clerk.
Item A1, financial feasibility analysis for direct management of the Goleta Library.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to kick off this item and then turn it over to Dana Grossi and Luke Rio. But what I wanted to emphasize as we start is this is a workshop. It's an information item because we realize the topic that council is asked to contemplate with regard to the library is a very complex one. So we wanted to provide extra time for council to get familiar with the analysis and be able to ask questions. And of course, we also wanted an additional opportunity for public comment. We are typically a little less formal in our workshops. We do present the information. We have a PowerPoint that staff will go through. But after we've gotten through the material, of course, we'd like to hear all of your questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. As an overview of what we're going over tonight, as probably everybody knows at this point, the Goleta Library has been operating at a deficit for several years, and reserve funds have been used to close the gap. Those reserve funds, of course, are limited in nature and are dwindling. There have been many conversations over several years about how best to deal with library revenues. Those conversations morphed into discussions about what the structure of the management of the library should be, which kind of brings us to where we are tonight. And Dana Grazi will go into a little bit more detail about the background. But what we'd like to do today is really spend a lot of time focusing on the draft municipal library budget that we have put together. This assumes at this point not a start date in this fiscal year, of course, but a start date July 1, 2018, so roughly about a year from now. We have put together spreadsheets which show a comparison between the operating costs under the current structure, where the city of Santa Barbara is managing and operating the library, and that is compared to our projections on what the budget would look like for a Goleta-managed library. We're also going to cover some of the critical deadlines that are coming up that relate to possible membership in the Black Gold Cooperative. It's a library system which focuses on the sharing of collections and also the deadline to apply to the California State Library so we can get their recognition for the Goleta Library as a standalone system of its own. But following tonight's informational meeting, we will be seeking direction from council at your next regular meeting, which is the August 15th meeting. So we're hoping that tonight achieves the goal of better informing our council and the public on what we found to date and what we've synthesized together in this financial analysis. Now, we realize there's other components, there's other steps that involve different areas such as human resources and timing, negotiating with the county of Santa Barbara, the city of Santa Barbara, and those are many things that we've spent time working with our own staff and with the staff of the other agencies discussing. But tonight it's really about that financial analysis, principally because back in March, council asked us to do a much more detailed analysis and to look more closely at what the costs would be. So we've done our best to cover that, and that's what we're going to show you tonight. So with that, before I turn it over to Dana, I just want to recognize the efforts of the team here that's been working on the analysis, led by Dana Grossi and Luke Rio, and also with the assistance of our virtual management analyst, Heidi Ayton. She's a contract analyst who's also been very involved in this. So I want to give them credit because they're the ones that have been doing the heavy lifting here. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dana.
Okay, thank you, and good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. I'm really excited to be here tonight on this very important topic. And first, just wanted to say thank you to all the stakeholders and familiar faces that I've been working with in the audience. I wanted to, in particular, point out Allison Gray, who is the supervising librarian at the Goleta Library, and just let this council know that Allison is obviously very knowledgeable about the needs of the Goleta Library. So should any questions come up during this presentation, that would be appropriate for Allison. She's here, so thank you. All right, and with that, I'll go ahead and get started and provide some additional background to those who may not be as familiar with this topic. And so currently the County of Santa Barbara contracts with the municipal libraries of Santa Barbara, Lompoc, and Santa Maria to manage libraries within the unincorporated areas of three designated zones in the county. The county's role is to provide funding support to the libraries, which we will describe in more detail later in the presentation. And the Goleta Library is a branch of the City of Santa Barbara Library System, which lies in Zone 1. The City of Santa Barbara staffs and manages libraries in Zone 1, which includes its central and east side libraries, as well as libraries in Solvang, Buellton, Montecito, Carpinteria, Los Olivos, and Goleta. The City of Santa Barbara also manages all the library budgets in Zone 1, which includes the Goleta's library budget. And the City of Goleta contracts with the City of Santa Barbara to manage its library. And this has been the historical arrangement. And so since March, it's been a very busy time for library budget discussions. Staff and council have been engaged at countywide library advisory meetings, at City of Santa Barbara council meetings, at county board of supervisor meetings. And staff have also been in regular contact with City of Santa Barbara staff and other stakeholders, such as the Friends of the Goleta Library. And so there have been numerous budget uncertainties throughout the previous few months that have since been resolved for this 17-18 fiscal year, which has allowed us to refine and present this budget to you today. And so I'll start by providing an overview of the general budget here, and start by pointing everyone to attachments 1 and 2, which are the draft budgets we'll run through. Attachment 1 shows the financial outlook for the Goleta Library, starting with direct management on July 1 of 2018. And attachment 2 is very similar, but it provides a side-by-side comparison of what the Goleta Library budget would look like under the continued Santa Barbara model versus Goleta management. And it's projected out through 2023 to 24. And so I just wanted to provide a high-level summary. And so please try to keep these points in mind as we go along. So first, under the City of Goleta's management, operating expenditures will be significantly lower than expenditures projected under the existing Santa Barbara management. Second, regardless of the management model, revenues will decrease starting in fiscal year 18-19, and this is due to an assumed decrease in the level of county per capita funding committed to the branch libraries. The county helps fund library services countywide with an annual allocation from its general fund. And for fiscal year 17-18, libraries are receiving a one-time allocation of $8.20 per capita for each library service population. But I do want to stress this is a one-time increase that was approved by the County Board of Supervisors for the fiscal year. It's not guaranteed in future years, so that's why you see a decrease in expenditures in this draft budget that we've prepared. And so third, overall, the Goleta Municipal Library would be a more cost-effective option than the continued model. Even with the lower projected revenues that you see, the savings and expenditures would make up for this loss. Fourth, regardless of whether the City of Santa Barbara or City of Goleta operates the library, the annual deficit is still going to grow each year. And that's going to necessitate a continued general fund commitment from Goleta. However, the general fund commitment would be lower under a Goleta-managed library. So it's important to point that out. So that's just an overall picture. And with that, I'll go ahead and start with the revenue side of the budget. So this table essentially illustrates what I was saying, that revenues for the Goleta Library are projected to be lower starting in 2018-19 than they are for the current fiscal year. And so the City of Santa Barbara has historically allocated the county's per capita funding to each library budget based on the estimated population in the individual library service areas. And that's the first line item you see here in this table. So according to the City of Santa Barbara, the most recently estimated service area population for the Goleta Library is 92,666, Based on this number, Santa Barbara has allocated $760,000 approximately in county per capita funding to the Goleta Library for this fiscal year. And this revenue source represents approximately 54% of the Goleta Library's projected revenue for this year. And so for purposes of the draft budget on the screen, I just want to point out a continuation of the current 92,666 population is assumed. However, as we'll cover in future slides, this budget will also be analyzing alternate service area populations. It is important to consider alternate population counts that the Goleta Library would serve. If Goleta chooses to operate its own library, it would be required to form a new service area, Zone 4. So three additional alternative population scenarios will be presented later on in this presentation. And they're just meant to illustrate the level of impact to a municipal library's budget that a new library service area could result in. So as you can see here again, a return to the $7.80 per capita contribution for a service population of 92,666 equals $686,000 and change per year for these successive years. So this is about a $73,000 lower amount than the $8.20 per person amount. And so next, if you go down to the highlighted blue library DIF contribution line item, the city contributes funds to the Goleta Library from its collection of library facility development impact fees. And these funds are used to supplement the library's book acquisition budget. The council previously approved a library DIF contribution of $102,000 each year for the next two fiscal years. And for discussion purposes today, this draft budget assumes the same level of DIF contribution at that level through 2022 through 23. However, this level of DIF contribution would not be sustainable past that fiscal year. And so I just want to point that out to everyone. And then next, the next source of revenue I want to cover are Measure L revenues. And just a little bit of background, back in June of 1990, voters in County Service Area 3 approved Measure L, which authorized a special tax to fund enhanced services at the Goleta Library. Measure L special tax revenues are projected at around $440,000 for this current fiscal year. And so these revenues represent approximately 31% of the Goleta Library's revenue for this year. So altogether, when you take the county's per capita funding revenues plus the Measure L revenues, these are over 85% of the budget's revenues. And so I'll also point out that Measure L tax rates are adjusted annually using the Consumer Price Index inflator. And so the CPI increase for 2016 was 1.9%, but to be conservative for this budget, we used a 1% inflator each year. And then in addition to the county per capita funding, the Measure L revenues, and the library DIF contributions, you see here in this table, the Goleta Library also receives revenues from other sources, including continuous donations from the Friends of the Goleta Library, fines and fees, copy fees, and various other smaller categories that you see here. And so with that, I'll go ahead and move on to the expenditure side of the budget. And we'll go ahead and start with salaries and benefits. And so the in the calculations that we did, the salaries and benefits included an assumed library department staff of 22 employees, which includes 16 part-time staff and 6 full-time staff. Currently, the Goleta Library is staffed at 21 employees, and so the breakdown is 16 part-time and 5 full-time employees. But this budget assumes the addition of one full-time library director. A library director is recommended to provide essential leadership in the development of library services for the community. A library director would represent the interests of the city within the community, the region, Black Gold, and the state. Salaries and benefits costs for the assumed 22 Goleta library employees are estimated to increase overall by 2% each year. So the overall picture here is that salary savings would be realized under a Goleta-managed library when compared to the current model. However, I want to point out that this council may ultimately wish to consider increasing staffing at the library in the future to allow for enhanced services at the library, but that's a decision point for this council in the future. So as this table shows, we had originally calculated Goleta salaries and benefits to total this $844,000 and change figure you see here. However, staff were able to adjust the library's part-time staffing pay to Step 1 Goleta rates, which resulted in a savings of $40,000, thereby bringing the total Goleta salaries and benefits expenditures for the current fiscal year to a lower total of $844,000. So per recommendation made by our city's ad hoc library committee, any salaries and benefit savings could be set aside to contribute to the library's book reserves. So that is what we have shown here in the updated budget that you received this evening. I did want to point out that this change does not result in an increase or decrease on the expenditure side. So the next expenditures category that I'll cover is under supplies and services, and there are quite a few items included here. And we'll start with the black gold fee, and I'll provide some background on black gold, which is a library cooperative. It's authorized by the state of California. It's comprised primarily of Central Coast municipal libraries, and the purpose of the black gold cooperative is to share library collection material throughout the region to the member libraries, and this includes technology and courier services. Black Gold also acquires and manages electronic material on behalf of its membership. So this cooperative is one of nine regional library systems in the state. Black Gold receives funding from the California State Library. For purposes of this draft budget, you'll see an estimate of $110,000 per year is included for expenditures each year, and this number covers Black Gold membership fees. And this was a number that the City of Santa Barbara provided to us for the current fiscal year. But it should be noted that Black Gold's organization's funding comes from the state and the member libraries' fees. And so therefore their charges are subject to fluctuate each year. We've seen that in the past. They go up and down. Furthermore, the organization's administrative council has the responsibility to establish policies related to fees. And so any changes that their council may come up with in terms of the formula could have a significant impact on the library's budget. Black Gold membership also includes various one-time startup costs, and we'll cover those a little bit later. Next, I'd like to point everyone's attention to the administrative fee and allocated cost. The City of Santa Barbara charges an administrative fee to all of the branch libraries that it manages in Zone 1. Historically, this fee has been set at 9% of the total operating expenditures for each budget. However, the City Council of the City of Santa Barbara voted on June 12th of this year to increase that fee to 13.5% for the current fiscal year. This fee is expected to increase again in 18-19 with 18% as a likely target that was discussed by Santa Barbara City Council. So for purposes of this budget projected out, we've used 18% in the future years. Under a Goleta managed library, of course, the City of Santa Barbara administrative fee would no longer apply. This would result in a savings of about 11% of total operating expenditures. And an additional reason for savings and expenditures under a Goleta managed library is we would also no longer need to pay allocated costs to the City of Santa Barbara. Allocated costs pay for salaries and benefits as well as supplies and services expended by the City of Santa Barbara to manage the Goleta Library. So savings realized from no longer having to pay the administrative fee and allocated costs certainly contribute to the savings and expenditures that we see here today. Next, I'd like to touch on the topic of custodial services. On July 1st, we assumed direct provision of custodial services at the Goleta Library. Previously, these services were provided by the City of Santa Barbara, and they were charged back to the City of Goleta with the 9% administrative fee added to the service costs. But now that we provide custodial services directly at the library, we've been able to realize a savings. So for this current fiscal year, the savings are estimated at $45,000, which is the difference between the custodial amount City of Santa Barbara would have charged, which was $108,000, and an estimate that we received here at the city for $62,000 and change. Additional presumed savings have resulted from the 13.5% administrative fee charges that would have been applied to these services. And then next I'll touch on utilities. Electricity costs at the Goleta Library were previously paid by the City of Santa Barbara on the City of Goleta's behalf, even though the library building is owned by the City of Goleta. So on July 18th of this year, Goleta staff were able to transfer the electricity account for the library from Santa Barbara to Goleta. And this change allows Goleta to now pay its utility bill directly and, of course, avoid the administrative fee charge that was historically applied. So just to give you the rundown of the figures here, our library spends approximately $32,000 per year on electricity. So this savings is expected to result the savings from the administrative fee, I should say, would save about $4,320 annually. Okay, getting caught up in the numbers here. So in the meantime, Goleta staff are currently working with City of Santa Barbara staff to transfer other accounts to Goleta, and these accounts include water, telephone, internet, and cable. And so that's in process right now. So I think that about covers it for supplies and services. So book acquisitions is another expenditure category here. And so as you can see.
Could I ask a question? Oh, sure. Can I ask a question before we leave the administrative fee?
Yeah.
I've asked this before. I still don't understand what we're paying for other than a 9%. I mean, you just explained that they've been paying electricity. Well, they get a bill from Edison, they write a check, and then they charge us 9% for writing that check. Is that basically it?
That's basically it. The administrative fee is charged on all operating expenditures, which includes, you know, electricity, custodial.
Okay. Then the second part of my question then is they're charging for basically staff time to get the work done. Do we know what the impacts, if you can answer this later, then I'll wait, but do we know what the impacts to our staff will be, and will it equal that $177,000?
That's a good question, and we did an internal analysis of impacts to our general government staff, which we refer to as indirect costs. And in later slides, I do cover that topic, and hopefully it'll help answer your question there.
I hope so.
Yes. Yeah. Does anyone else have questions before we move on? Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Kasten?
Sure. I mean, I think we had talked about it earlier, there's four general understanding as far as indirect and overhead, if we could lay it out more explicitly, because there's the difference that's here in the difference between the Santa Barbara salaries and expenses and the Goleta salaries and expenses, about $130,000. And then there's the, the allocated costs, and then the administrative fee. And so maybe just for general understanding, to lay out how those overhead, indirect, and other costs are where do they fit? You know, explain that so people can understand that, because it's a little how they're different. Yeah, that makes sense.
I might defer that question to Luke Rio. He's going to provide a more well-versed response than I can.
Okay, so the allocated cost, that comes from the central library functions. It covers their central library administration, also their service and supplies. So what we did to arrive at their salary allocated cost was take a ratio of what they spend on salaries and what they spend on service and supplies. The administrative fee comes from more of an indirect overhead for costs associated with their finance department, their city manager, attorney, HR, and whatnot.
Okay, so the administrative fee is ostensibly to cover the costs of the city manager, the city council, and all of those, the costs associated with that. And the allocated costs are the more... And those costs are which?
Those were shared costs amongst the central library.
Okay, so more direct costs associated correct. With administering the library. And then you backed it out and you divided the portion that's associated with salary in one bucket and then the portion associated with services and supplies in the other bucket.
Yes, that's correct. Right? Yep.
I guess I would just add, yeah, I don't want to monopolize, but when we're actually tallying the costs, we also have imputed costs that I think you would want to include. Not just, you know, we should include the overhead costs associated with our city council. We need to be paid. This doesn't come for nothing, and but also, for instance, rent is an imputed cost that should be included, even though it's not something that's visible. When we look at the contributions that the city is providing, it's one of the things we provide, and it should be accounted for in this. So I mean, the value of the rent contribution is part of our contribution, and it should be shown up here.
If I may just insert myself here, that would be something that if we were going to go to that kind of full cost recovery model, we would need to be charging to other programs and departments as well, not just the library. We've not done that before in our history. It hasn't been a priority that was expressed by the council. And also because we don't have enterprise funds, it's not... Yeah, it's typical to do that when you're really looking at largely general government functions and then some of the basic service functions as well. So just to give you a background of why we don't already do that and why we don't have those numbers included this evening.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying that we should switch the accounting system for the city, but when we're comparing it to what Santa Barbara is presenting and how they're presenting in a certain way, the fact that where there are costs like that that we are actually bearing but we're not including, we should be recognizing those costs. And
Councilmember Bennett?
Yeah, I would just like to point out in the budget, the indirect costs are noted at the bottom. And those indirect costs are the kinds of things that you're speaking to, if I'm not mistaken. So the staff has already done what you've already asked for, just to illustrate what that might be, since we are not in that kind of a system.
And Dana will provide more detail on that shortly with the indirect costs.
Councilman yeah. Richards? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, since we're on the topic, and I realize we haven't even gotten through staff's presentation, sorry, Ms. Grassi, but since we're on this topic of what you just brought up, the indirect costs, I noticed that it is on our budget, and it's listed at the very bottom, below the line, below the total line, whereas, so we're looking at what the indirect costs would be to the city of Goleta if we take control of the library. But when we're comparing to Santa Barbara's budget, those costs are above the line because those are costs that are included in the administrative fee and the overhead. So we're not looking at an appropriate comparison. It's a bit disingenuous that we're taking those costs out when we think about what it will be for the city of Goleta, but we're including those costs when we're looking at what we're paying currently to the city of Santa Barbara. So going back to Mayor Pro Tem's point about including all of the costs, and your response that we don't have that accounting system, Ms. Green, we don't account in that way for the cost to certain departments or programs within the city. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about whether or not we should take control of it and what the cost will be to the city of Goleta compared to what we're paying now when we contract with the city of Santa Barbara. So it's not necessarily that we're proposing that we would account for those costs in that way internally, but we should take into account those costs as a whole when we're thinking about whether or not we take the library or not.
My comment was on the calculation of administrative overhead, not indirect costs, just to make that clarification.
Right, but there still will be a cost to the city of doing something that we didn't do before.
Right, I mean, there was, sorry to jump in, but, oh, I'm sorry, Michael, I didn't see.
And actually, Councilmember Seves had his button on before.
Okay. I just wanted to give you a little bit of perspective how complex the city of Santa Barbara's budgeting is. The police department does not own their police cars. They're owned by Motor Pool. And the police department's charged a monthly rent, basically, payment every month for the use of the police cars. And all these departments gets charged back to whether you're an enterprise fund like the airport or you're the library. If you have an attorney cost, that gets charged back. So it's going to be very difficult for us to, and I asked the question over, but you know, we're not going to be able, it's like looking at what the county gets with our revenue neutrality. We're never going to really understand what the $177,000 goes to until we take over the library and realize the cost savings of not having to pay just that 9%, which is going to go up to, 13.5%. That's significant. But the 13.5%, I think what I'm hearing is how that impacts our services or our current organization and how we're going to need to look at that budgetary-wise as far as does our finance director need an extra person there just to handle the library? Does our HR person need another person just to handle the library? Mm-hmm. Don't know. But that's hopefully something that we're going to get as we go along.
Councilmember Bennett. Dana, go ahead.
Well, thanks. Thank you for those comments. And I'll just add one quick point on the indirect costs. Luke Rio had prepared some graphs later on in this presentation that show how the expenditure side of the library budget would be impacted if indirect costs were incorporated into the budget. So you can see, you know, both scenarios there. Okay, so another expenditure category is book acquisitions. So as you can see here on this slide, for the current fiscal year, this cost is going to be $245,000 and change. This was a number that City of Santa Barbara has provided that the Goleta Library will pay into book acquisitions. For purposes of this budget, staff have kept that number the same for each successive year. However, it's our hope that through hiring a library director, that he or she would provide the level of expertise needed to truly determine an appropriate funding allocation for this for these book acquisitions. And so the city of Goleta is considered a net borrower of the region's book collections, so that we, in other words, we borrow more materials than we share out. And so this has been a concern in the library community that's been brought up before. So it's just going to be important for us to determine an appropriate level of contributions to book collections in future years.
Dana, real quick. So you're saying that based on having a library director, they will be able to help us decide or determine whether this number is accurate. So you're saying it could go up or down. Is that what I'm
hearing? That's correct. It could go up or down. We're also reaching out to the Black Gold Administrative Council, and we've asked them to help us out too, because they seem like, you know, they will be able to provide that information as well. So I've been in contact with their executive director, Maureen Theobald, and hoping maybe she could provide that level of expertise too. So,
okay. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll just add briefly, the Black Gold Council pointed us in the direction of some data that the state maintains so we could look at some other cities and perhaps use them as benchmarks as well. We were given access to a database that we're able to view and consider. We didn't have that in time for this report, but that is something we're following up on as well.
Right. And the last thing I'll point out on the book acquisitions here is that the city of Santa Barbara has increased the Goleta Library's contribution above what it was in the past. And it's our understanding that the Zone 1 library system is striving to meet the state median per capita funding level for book acquisitions. And so because we're striving to meet this, you know, greater level, that's why this funding category has been increased. So it's unknown, you know, what amount this might be in future years. So it's something we're going to look into. And then moving on to the indirect costs here that we started to talk about a little bit earlier. And this is the final area on the expenditure side. So under a Goleta managed library, the city would incur a number of indirect financial impacts to general government programs resulting from supporting a new library department. So again, for these budget calculations, the library department will consist of an assumed 22 employees. If you look to page 5 of attachment 1, there's a listing of various administrative support functions and estimated costs associated with each type of support. And so through this in-house analysis that we conducted, staff found that these indirect costs to support the library department would not necessitate the hiring of any new part-time or full-time staff to support the increased workload. But as you can see in the table here, those indirect costs are estimated at approximately $154,000 for the first year of assumed management. These costs are projected to increase at an estimated 2% each year. And as we've been discussing, the library budget does not incorporate indirect costs as expenditures, as these costs are not directly charged to library operations. And I do want to point out that not all indirect costs will represent actual expenditures. So, for example, the additional support provided by general government staff to the library staff would not actually necessitate additional positions. So, in reality, staffing hourly costs are not true costs because the additional workload would actually be absorbed by existing staff. So hopefully that helps clarify this a little bit. That's why those costs are not included as expenditures. But I'll show you in the following slides for comparison purposes how the indirect costs would affect the library expenditure side of the budget if they were incorporated.
Mayor Pertam?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, good budgeting or good accounting, you show those costs. The only reason you wouldn't show it is if you thought that the people are just kind of hanging out and not using their time productively. You know, we assume that the people who are now going to be devoting some of their time to the administration of the library and to provide those services are using their time for something valuable, and they would be diverted from being able to do that. So it's an actual, even though we're not hiring something, it's a true cost. It's an imputed cost, even if it's not visible, there's a real cost to us. And so that was my oration. But let me just clarify. So with those costs, would that go, if we were doing sort of more the apples to apples, would you put that as sort of the equivalent of the Goleta version of the administrative fee or the Goleta version, or would we then divide most of that put that under the salaries and expenses as part of that or divide it, you know, we would split it. Part of it would go into the salaries and expenses, and part of it would go also under the supplies and services. If we were lining it up as opposed to putting it as a, you know, as a placeholder and entry, a data informational entry at the bottom. Does that make, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good
Where would
question.
We put it just to see the pure parallel?
So given the nature of what we have for the indirect cost of Goleta, if we want to match it up with City of Santa Barbara,
yeah,
it would more in line fall in line with the administrative fee.
Okay. Thank you. So we then have already included the equivalent of the allocated costs are in our numbers above the line, so to speak.
Right, so the library will function on its own. It would have its own, you know, entire program number. And so the allocated costs, such as like electricity, is not absorbed in the support services budget, but now it's its own budget. So it's you can see here on both budget documents here, on the Santa Barbara side, you can see how there's allocated cost operations. Mm-hmm. That represents a lot of the utilities, internet cable, building maintenance, and whatnot.
Okay.
And so we, you know, basically divided it out or allocated it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Bennett? Okay. Continue.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, so this slide just shows a summary of what we just discussed of total revenues and expenditures. So as you can see here, again, revenues are expected to decrease in future years. But savings in total expenditures would be realized under a Goleta-managed library. General fund contribution is needed in the future regardless of the management model, assuming a continuation of the same level of services at the library as are provided now. However, a general fund contribution would be lower under a Goleta-managed library. So I'll go ahead and start moving into some of the graphs here. And so these next few slides show what the city's general fund contribution would need to be for the library under the continued City of Santa Barbara management versus a Goleta-managed library. And so our city council here made a general fund contribution of $219,000 for fiscal year 17-18 to the library. The contribution was authorized at the June 20th regular meeting, and it resulted in a $31,000 and change budget surplus for the fiscal year. And so this will add to the library's reserve balance for a total of $517,000 in reserves for the current fiscal year. Without this general fund contribution, the budget would have experienced a deficit of $187,000. And so this slide shows what the city's general fund contribution would need to be each subsequent year if we assume a continuation of the existing service area population of 92,666. So as you can see, regardless of who manages the library, a sustained contribution is needed to continue operating at the same service levels and staffing and hours. Although for this budget, indirect costs are not wrapped up into the expenditures, this graph shows what the impact of the general fund would be if indirect costs were added to library expenditures, and that's the yellow line there you see in the middle. And so, Council Member.
You know, we started this meeting off by saying that we've been operating with a budget deficit for several years, and now we're looking at the graphs with different contributions. But I guess my question is why have we been in a deficit every year over several years? Have we answered that question to be able to put it down on paper so that, you know, obviously, the administrative fee is going to be a great help, but I don't think that's going to be the total solution to the problem. But what is the problem?
Well, and maybe Luke Rio could provide input, but to me, it seems, you know, from what I've learned over the past few months, the revenues, I think that generally in the region, we're not seeing enough revenues come in. You know, the libraries support a great number of programs for their patrons, and we want to do so much with libraries, but we just don't have
sustainable revenue sources, but that's just maybe Lou could weigh in a little bit.
Yeah, it appears like the revenues have been sort of flat over the years. I mean, there's a small CPI escalator, whereas the expenditures tend to grow over time. So if you're not able to, you know, your revenues are not outpacing your expenditures, you're going to end up in a deficit.
I would just like to add that in the past, there was state funding that went to the municipal libraries throughout the state. That allowed many libraries to thrive. When that funding dwindled and disappeared, many libraries immediately had issues and started to look at cuts in service. Now, the system that City of Santa Barbara operated in Zone 1 for many years did have the benefit of reserves. There was additional monies that were able to be set aside in reserves for each of the branches in Zone 1. So the Goleta Library had the luxury of being able to function using reserves to close that gap. We also have had the benefit of very significant support from our friends group as well. And that's also been the case throughout the county with other libraries and other friends groups. But what's really the focus here is that while Measure L is allowed to increase slightly, as Luke said, by the CPI, that growth doesn't outpace the growth in expenditures. And where the county has, when they could, supplemented the county per capita contribution, that's been a big help. But again, the amount that they're able to provide isn't able to outpace the growth in expenditures either. So really, structurally, the problem is with revenues. Expenditures are going to grow. We've been able to find savings in this current year by making adjustments to the direct costs, by bringing the utilities and the custodial services over. Certainly, managing the library directly will have that impact of reducing costs because of the administrative fee and the indirect costs that we pay now to Santa Barbara going away. But that will catch up with us at some point. Just the way that expenditures are outpacing revenues really points to a solution on the revenue side of this equation, which has been a topic of discussion with the Library Advisory Committee, with this council. We've talked many times about the need for revenue enhancements. We've talked about other potential ballot measures. We've made three attempts at that and ultimately haven't been able to bring that to the voters yet. But there have been discussions on the part of the advisory committee about how we solve this issue countywide. And that's something that could be done in a number of ways. So that discussion will continue, because when you really look at it, Goleta's library is in much better shape than many of the other branches in the county. So this is really a funding crisis for libraries, not just in Santa Barbara County, but statewide, and principally because that state support is now gone.
Okay.
Councilmember Bennett.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that the Measure L amount of money is in the neighborhood of about $440,000 total, I believe, in round figures anyway. And that really only represents less than a third of the overall budget, which gets an annual adjustment. None of the other revenue sources get an annual adjustment. There's nothing that's built in. The county has been generous because the last 2 years, they've actually increased the per capita amount of money. So that's been wonderful, and we're very appreciative of that. But that's the only other place that we've actually gotten increases. If it hadn't been for the Friends, they've kept us afloat, because they've consistently kept the money flowing into our library. And where other libraries have closed 1 or 2 days a week, we're still open 7 days a week. We've reduced some of the hours. We should also keep in mind that the library staffing, and the lady sitting there in the back who has all this knowledge, I believe we were at 9 or 10 full-time employees back in about 2000, and it's just been over time we've been chipping away at the number of paid staff to provide the library services. So there's been a combination of issues where we've been constricting the money being expended, cutting back the expenditures. And the fact of the matter is, because of the way the city of Santa Barbara budgets, they've just continued to whack away at the available funding that's there. And as was previously stated, we have a good reserve fund, which we've been very careful about, as we are with our own general fund budget, I might add. And that's been paying off. We've got other libraries within Zone 1 that will be in deficit, and there will be no more money. They do not have any more money. So there's big question marks what's going to happen in the future elsewhere within Zone 1. So the reality is it's a funding issue. It's a matter of having the amount of funding that is no longer there that used to be there, and that the library cannot sustain this for forever unless there's some means of balancing out that funding.
Councilmember Richards.
Well, I'd also like to point out that in addition to the generous support and contributions from the Friends of the Library, is that we've also been borrowing against the future. We've been using our DIF funds for this, and this is not a sustainable model. We have been using DIF funds at a rate of $102,000 a year, and as the staff report mentions, we won't be able to continue that. So in this graph that we're looking at, we're only looking at general fund contributions. It does not include the DIF funds that we've also been contributing at about $100,000, which we can't continue to do either. So I think that's another significant part of how we've been able to support the library in the short term. It's just not a long-term sustainable solution.
Mayor Potemkin. I do have a real quick comment and question. Moving forward, kind of piggyback on something Councilmember Bennett mentioned about the staffing level and how we've had to chip away. We did do a report. It was by Ruth Metz and Associates several years ago that identified that our library was understaffed. We have 22 employees. They suggested 26. I don't see anywhere on here the mention of, or unless we're going to talk about it at some point, if we want to increase staff, how that's going to play into the budget moving into the future.
Right, that's a very good point. And I think for this analysis and comparison here today, we wanted to do as much of an apples to apples comparison as possible. And that's why we've got the 22, adding one staff, the library director. But we also didn't want to make that decision for this council, but it's a good point that the study has done a lot of the work for us and has made this recommendation that the library staffing does need to be increased, and maybe someone like Allison Gray would be able to speak to that too. So we could always prepare a budget that shows the 26 staffing and what that would look like.
Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan?
Yeah, just at some point, so this is, obviously the purpose of this is to talk about the purpose of this is to talk about the financial implications of separating from the larger system. And I guess I'm wondering if at some point will we also talk about if there are revenue implications, not in terms of that we'll have a different level of control to be able to do bonds or be able should we wish to take additional actions, does it have implications in with that in any sense that would adjust our decision making? It would be helpful,
yeah.
Probably.
I hadn't considered that before, so maybe that's something we can look into here.
Great, thanks.
Sure, thank you. I'll go ahead and continue with these graphs here. We're almost through. I just wanted to show the different service area population scenarios and how that would affect the general fund contribution. So here's a potential alternative service area population for a potential new Zone 4. 94,545, and you can see this in attachment 3, which is a map of the potential service area. So as you can see on this graph, the expected general fund contribution would decrease that first fiscal year due to the increased service area population. But you see the same general trends that in future years, no matter the service area population scenario, the city would need to increase its general fund commitment. Oh, and one thing I should point out is these population counts that we're going through, they incorporate 2015 census counts. And this scenario here that you're looking at assumes certain areas will be included with a new zone 4 Goleta Library. So this is just a scenario that would include the Mission Canyon area, the unincorporated area west and north of Foothill Road to County Service Area 3, County Service Area 3 itself, Hope Ranch, the City of Goleta, Santa Barbara Airport, Isla Vista, Rancho Embarcadero, and the Gaviota Coast. So this shows us one potential new zone 4 that could be formed and how that would impact the budget. And here is another graph, another potential service area. It excludes Hope Ranch for comparison purposes. You can see the decreased service area population to 92,145. Slightly below the status quo population currently being applied by the city of Santa Barbara. So again, you're seeing the same trends here as far as the general fund commitment needing to increase each year. And we also provided an additional scenario that greatly reduces the service area population. And so this lower population of 62,680 is just another potential scenario. It assumes that only CSA 3 and the city of Goleta population would be included. The city's general fund contribution would be greater than in the other scenarios. And so this next graph is a total expenditures comparison. So it shows the total expenditures each year under a Goleta managed library and just illustrates what we've been talking about. It would be cheaper even when you incorporate the indirect costs into the budget under a Goleta managed system than it is under the current management structure. And expenditures would not be affected by the service area population. And so this graphic just similarly shows the cost savings involved in a Goleta managed library. In year one, about $167,000 in savings would be realized. This amount does not include the indirect costs. So the savings and expenditures would increase each year, as you can see under the Goleta model, with a savings of close to $400,000 realized in fiscal year 22-23.
Could just a clarification, is this the total expenditures, this is the net, this includes revenues, right? This is the net revenues minus expenditures, not just the expenditure side.
I think this is just the expenditure side.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just the expenditures. Okay. Okay, and this is the same graph, but this time the indirect costs are included. And again, we're just looking at total expenditures. So even with the indirect costs charged to this side of the library budget, the savings are realized each year and at an increasing rate each year. And so that about covers it for the budget portion of this presentation. This is the final slide, and I wanted to provide everyone with a timeline, next steps, deadlines, and goals that the city would need to meet, assuming that July 1, 2018 transition. And so I'll first start by letting everyone know that staff made a presentation to Black Gold last Friday on July 28th. We updated their administrative council on the city's process to date, and we also walked their council through a draft of this same budget. And Black Gold was encouraged by the work that the city has done. And we've been in communication with their executive director, who will be a very important resource for the city moving forward. Staff will be coming back on August 15th at the regular council meeting to solicit your feedback on requesting membership to Black Gold. I do want to stress that it will be important to have Black Gold's confidence in the city's intentions and readiness to function as a municipal library. In addition to working with Black Gold, the city will also need to formally request the California State Library's approval of our membership into the Black Gold system. So, in other words, both the state and Black Gold will need to approve of the city's membership into the Black Gold regional system. The California Library Services Board meets twice per year, in the fall and in the spring. So if this council were to choose to move forward with the Goleta Library in fiscal year 1819, the state library board would need to receive certain documentation by September 1st, including a letter from Black Gold to the state stating their acceptance of the city of Goleta into their system. Of course, they're deliberating that. We don't know. We haven't formally requested that they consider us for acceptance yet. So that's pending a direction from this council on August 15th on what you'd like to do moving forward. And so a library services board meeting will be held in October. They're still looking to solidify the specific date, but at that meeting, their board would hear our city's request to form a municipal library. And so another important effort that we alluded to earlier in establishing a municipal library involves recruiting for a library director. It's recommended as an additional hired staff to represent the Goleta Library and provide the expertise that would be needed to help out with the transition. Ideally, a recruitment would take place this fall. And so the library director would coordinate certain efforts with Black Gold, especially related to startup efforts, including the purchase of new barcodes for library items and the design and purchase of new patron ID cards, among other various tasks that would be involved with the transition. And so I think that covers everything. So we look forward to coming back to you on August 15th. And with that, we'll take questions.
I just have a quick one. This is what you mentioned about speaking with Black Gold July 28th. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression that we were moving forward as far as asking them whether they would accept if we could apply and be accepted into Black Gold, and that hasn't been discussed with them?
I thought
we were moving in that direction, and once we could see whether they would accept us or not would determine the direction we would be going.
That's a really good question, and I think that part of their determination for accepting us as a member is having confidence that we're ready to move forward. So we haven't formally requested it because we weren't sure what the direction of this council was going to be in pursuing a July 1 transition. So we didn't want to, you know, jump ahead and request membership without first having direction from this council. I hope that makes sense.
Well, I was just thinking that we did a resolution, and wouldn't that be show them that we were seriously thinking about moving forward at that point? No?
Well, that was the topic of our conversation when we met with them back in March, and what they said was that is not enough of an assurance. What they wanted to see was council's commitment through the development and acceptance of a proposed budget. That was very important to them, and they wanted us to be able to demonstrate that council could sustain a commitment of general fund monies, not just for startup, but over the long haul, before that they would make their final determination. We met with them last week so that we could start that groundwork, so that when council hears this item in August and makes a determination, we wouldn't have to start all of that from scratch. And we could update them and let them know what council's action is. And then if they had any additional questions, we would answer them. But essentially, they have the bulk of what they need now to make that determination. So they actually recommended that we meet with them twice They're expecting to see us again after the August council meeting so that we can further assure them if the city is prepared to move forward, that we can move forward. And then they would make their determination pretty quickly after that. Having met with them already gives them that lead time, which should provide them with what they need to make that decision later this month.
And then the second question was about the second, the state. You said they were, the deadline is September 1st, and then they will decide in October. And then also they have a spring. What's the date in the spring that they could be looking at this as well?
The date varies each year. It can be, it's usually February or March is what my state board contact had told me, but they haven't set the date yet.
Okay. Councilmember Bennett?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that that not everybody, that green light's getting me in trouble. That the council that is constantly being referred to is made up of the individual library directors that represent the library systems, not only in Santa Barbara County, but in San Luis County and Ventura County. And when we would hire a library director, that library director would then also sit on that council and be our advocate before the council. And I have a question. This 62,000 figure, which includes just the city and just the County Service Area 3, am I to understand that that request came from the council?
It wasn't a formal request by the council, but comments were made after a presentation that we should really consider a scenario that reduces the current population. And so I think one or two people had mentioned, well, what would it look like if just the city of Goleta boundaries were included? But we thought, you know, it would be more realistic to also include CSA 3 since, you know, that area pays into the Goleta Library.
I think we're tied at the hip. I guess my question is, since we know who the directors are, which directors made that request?
One of them was a director from Lompoc, the library director from Lompoc. Another supporter for that request was the Black Gold director. And then also, I believe, it might have been Santa Paula that also supported that request. And what they had expressed was a desire to know that our city council was provided with a range of possibilities so that there couldn't be an instance where we wouldn't be prepared to take on this responsibility if a service area was much lower than what we currently have. So it was really, I think, for them ensuring that staff, in doing our due diligence, was providing council with, you know, as a full range of options so that council would be more prepared to make their decision.
Well, I would say that I'm all prepared for full options, but I consider this to be somewhat inappropriate because, in essence, what you're saying is that the Gaviota Coast, Rancho Embarcadero, Isla Vista would not be included in our service area. We would not get credit for it, yet I can assure you that people are going to the library. They're not going downtown. They're going to the Goleta Library, and anybody that uses the Goleta Library knows that. And that would also be true for certainly for Hope Ranch as an example, probably less true for areas such as Mission Canyon and the unincorporated area north of Foothill Road, which we've talked about a lot about that logically may not make the most sense to be a part of our service area. But I'm thinking that if we're looking at the 62,000 population figure, that gives credence to something that I think is absolutely ridiculous and would never be considered. And it certainly doesn't associate with any logic at all that the library that provides the service doesn't get the funding. And I would submit to you that certainly the eastern boundary, there's some, and as I've already described, Mission Canyon and the northern unincorporated area north of Foothill, that may make some sense from a regional standpoint when you're establishing areas to be served. But certainly a population of 62,000 doesn't make any sense to me at all, and I think it's just really inappropriate, regardless of what Black Gold thinks.
Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan, and then Council Member Seves.
So,
Mike.
Thank you. So first, you had said you presented it to Santa Barbara, did I hear you say? You presented it, or just to Black Gold?
This
budget information.
This budget information was presented to Black Gold.
Black Gold, okay.
Yeah, sorry if I misspoke.
No, I was distracted. And was there any, what was the reaction associated with the discussion on the administrative fees and so forth, the imputed, all of that sort of thing? Did everyone nod their heads? Well, was there disputing our numbers or what, or just?
I'm trying to think back to the conversation.
They really didn't call those items out. They were not a separate matter for discussion. Maybe that's because they were already familiar with these charges. I suspect so, since three of those library directors do participate in the library advisory committee that's countywide. So I think the group probably already knew about that.
Okay. And I guess the only other question I have is right now, just if I saw it correctly, our expenditures right now are all fixed, other than the salaries and expenses, but we're not showing in these scenarios any change in the S&E across different scenarios, right? So everything else are fixed costs?
Yeah, the costs are fixed under the different service area population
right.
Scenarios.
So what's changing in each of those are the revenues we receive?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Councilmember Seves?
My first question is July 1st of 2018 workable? Or is it extremely ambitious? Given your chart, the things you have to do, can we get it done by July 1st of 2018?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm the appropriate person to weigh in here, but I certainly think we can. But I think it's important that we hire a library director to help with that transition so that it happens as smoothly as possible. I think it would also be important to receive Black Gold membership and the state's approval of the city's membership into Black Gold at the fall meeting in October and not in spring. The spring meeting with the state would be too late a call, and that was according to Maureen Theobald at Black Gold. She really feels it's important for us to pursue the fall membership.
Okay. Looking at all the scenarios, there's nothing that is changing my opinion that we need to take over the library. It's how we get there. So my first question, so I can figure out which these questions I want to put on the table for next time. Mm-hmm. What is it that the staff wants to come back with on our next meeting? Is it just to finalize a budget, or are we going to deal with the other issues also?
We'll provide you with this information again and then also touch more on those transition items, things that will need to get done, so you're aware of where we are, where our progress is on some of those, and what's left to tackle. But that will be the point where if we're to stay on the schedule for meeting the state's State Library's fall meeting, we'll need a decision from council. So if there are things today that you want to see that we haven't covered or we haven't alluded to, then we're happy to get that input from you tonight and be able to include that, to assist you in your decision making.
Okay. Then there's a few things I'd like to throw on, and hopefully when the public speaks, so we can add some more to your list.
so that we can come back with a complete report at our next meeting. The idea of having a budget deficit for several years obviously is not sustainable. And so I want to know what our plan is. I want to know what our plan is for utilizing our reserve funds. I think that it's not sustainable if we continue dipping in our reserves funds to run our library. The other question I had was the county's doing a study. When is that study going to come, when it's going to be completed? What are the questions asked in that study, and how do we implement those questions and answers into our analysis, and will we have it by the next meeting? We talked about the impacts to our staff. I know that the current plan is that we're going to pay for the 22 employees, but I truly believe that there's going to be impact to our staff, and trying to identify that early so that we can anticipate it as we go in through budget adjustments to make sure that we have adequate staff to have this transition go through smoothly. My next question has to do with this creating a new services area 4. What is that process? How long does that take? And do we have to get that done before July 1st?
We would need to get that process done before July 1st. It involves negotiating with the County of Santa Barbara, the City of Santa Barbara, and there may also be a desire from the Library Advisory Committee members to discuss that item as well. We've heard some interest in the past at a couple of their meetings in having a role in that conversation.
Okay, then my final question is really would go to our professional librarians and our friends. You know, the libraries are evolving. They're constantly evolving. And other than just throwing more money into it, should we now start a discussion on what sustainability of a library is using the new technology, identifying how they're being used now? Does that impact our budget? Could it impact our budget? And I don't know if that's a question that gets answered by our next meeting, but I think that's a discussion that we constantly have to have to make sure we meet the needs of our community. Because I don't think it's just throwing money in. I think it's a question of throwing money in with a definite plan on making it sustainable. So that I'd like to see a discussion started on it. And I think I've asked the questions I need. Thank you.
Councilmember Richards, and then Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan.
Thank you. I have a few questions. First of all, on the salaries and benefits slide, there was a point there that we could save $40,000 through, quote, by adjusting part-time staffing to step one rates. Does that mean pay cuts for those individuals? What exactly does that mean?
So in the original budget projection, we actually had it budgeted at top step. In reviewing the current rates that were given to us, our step one rates were more in a line, a little bit higher than City of Santa Barbara's rates and the part-time staffing levels.
Okay. So they wouldn't be receiving a cut in their current pay or anything
no.
like that? Okay. Just checking. Regarding the estimate for black gold fee, I see that we currently pay through the Santa Barbara Library $157,000 per year, and it's estimated to be $110,000 going forward. Can you explain that reduction?
I'm not sure exactly why the reduction was applied for this fiscal year. That $110,000 was a figure provided to us by the City of Santa Barbara, but that's what I was alluding to earlier, is that those fees change, and that's a good question that I could probably ask their executive director, Maureen Theobald, about what was the reason for that. She may be able to speak to it, and we can provide further detail on that.
Okay, yeah, I'd like more information and to see, is that okay. Just based on the population that we serve, or are there other factors involved? You know, it just seems like a big decrease to go from one year to the next, and I'd like to more information about that.
Right, I agree. I think there are other factors involved, and I'll find out more.
Okay, thank you. And then my last point or question is I'd like to reiterate some of the comments that Councilmember Seve said regarding the consultant study. Information like when is that going to be available, what questions were asked in that, what could we learn from that that would allow us, you know, more information about what we are, you know, about moving forward. And then, you know, maybe it's something that we need to wait on until we get more information before we move forward. You know, if it would provide more information to help us make a more informed decision, then what would be the ramifications of waiting to the, you know, February or March meeting of the library, the State Library Commission? So
okay.
I'd like to know what the implications of that would be.
Thank you. We'll look into that.
Mayor Tam Kasdan?
Yeah, here's a copy. This is a copy of the request for proposal or RFP for the consultant to do the study. And it's interesting because it does cover one of the things they potentially are supposed to cover is the proposed formation of a City of Goleta Municipal Library, as well as alternative delivery and funding models, and a comparison of Santa Barbara's existing service delivery and funding models to other county delivery and funding models. So there is relevant information in this study, I would think, for us. I can give you a copy if you haven't gotten it already. And I guess I would, you know, it's along those same lines that I'm wondering, as I understand, as I recall, when we spoke to the county and the city, we argued that we should wait before they impose the administrative fee, that we should wait until the consultant report is done. You know, I guess I would wonder, how are we being patient enough? Are we acting in good faith if we've argued that they should be patient and wait for the study before they impose a fee? Do we have all the information? To think it through as far as the implications or the opportunities with respect to that, the consultant fee and the consultant report rather, and what it might cover. And, you know, I mean, I think the thing is that ultimately there are things that we want to accomplish. When we've talked about independence, there are things that we want to accomplish from it. We want to accomplish, presumably, cost savings associated with the administrative fees and other things. We believe there are savings that there's just that the charges haven't been explained, and there's additional costs that we should see these laid out. Santa Barbara and us should understand what's going on. If we do become independent, they should know the costs aren't savings. That is, there are some of the supervisors who think that there are savings associated with some sort of a larger library system, and we, in theory, should have faced lower costs because we're part of this system, sharing it with the others. And if that's not true, they should know about it too. It should be transparent. The other thing is that decision-making process that we've been unhappy with, where we're not real full partners, where we don't get to make decisions, we're not part of the system. I want to see if they come up with something that talks about it. I'd like to know whether they're going to be laying something on the table that reflects our concerns, our interests, and so forth. That independence is one option, and I don't want to, you know, say it's not a good option, but I want to know the full array of options. So I guess when you look at it, look at the RFP and consider our independence in the context of that. Thank you.
Councilmember Bennett.
I guess I would just say that I think I've had most of my questions answered because I sit on the committee, and as a result, I tend to have a lot more information that's been coming across and the challenges. I don't know how long it's been, but it's been maybe 4 or 5 years. It's been a long time. I know that the mayor and I have sat on that council, and the struggles we continue to have, and they haven't changed. So from my perspective, I'm very much in favor of Goleta managing the library because of all the management challenges we've had, and that we have not been an equal partner, as the mayor pro tem has said, and that's been an incredibly obvious circumstance, and I don't see that changing. It should also be understood that during the course of our presentations before the city council, the city of Santa Barbara, 18% is not the top figure by any stretch of the imagination. The first meeting, they were estimating a full cost recovery of between 34% to 36%. The chairman of the board of trustees that runs the library in some fashion or another was all in favor of the full cost recovery and made that quote, and a number of the council members also made that quote. At the second meeting that we appeared before the city council, that percentage number changed, don't know why, and it came up in the 22% range without explanation. So I found that curious once again. But I think everyone here needs to know there is no less expensive way to go. The so-called economies of scale that have been spoken of have not ever been realized. And the costs for the city to do so have continued to rise. And there's been not an offsetting revenue source to take care of that. So for me, it's a pretty simple matter. It's a matter of, do we want to manage our own destiny, which I do. I think we can control it. We're much smaller. We're much easier to deal with. We can get quicker answers. And our staff up to date has done just an incredible job of trying to dig out information that has been very reluctantly provided and still is a challenge to get the bottom line figures when we've asked for so many years to get those and the explanation of what we're paying for. So until we go to our self-management, and I have a lot of confidence that we can do it quite well, that we'll eliminate all those challenges that we've had for all these years. And the county study was kind of a new wrinkle, because this isn't a new discussion that we've had. This has been going on for years and years and years. And it's unfortunate that it's taken so long for the process of that study to get started. And Mr. Chapin can talk to this, but I believe it's somewhere in January or February when the expectation is that this study will come forward. But we'll let him speak to that later as we move along, and we can call him up to the podium to do that. But in any case, I don't disagree that what's in the study would be interesting, but the fascinating thing is the county is not a library system. We have three systems, and they're controlled by their respective city councils and their respective library directors, not the Board of Supervisors. Now, the supervisors certainly have some influence because they provide a huge chunk of money. And in our case, it's about, I don't know, almost twice of what we are generating locally between Measure L. And we throw in our general fund monies and our DIF funds, then we get a little closer on the equality side of things. But so the county, there's no question they're going to have some say-so in that. But they don't manage anything. They don't manage those three library systems. So it would be interesting if, as a result of our efforts to go forward to make a change, impacts the Santa Maria and or the Lompoc system that would be viewed upon as being a negative impact to them because of some formulaic change, I just don't think that's going to happen, to be quite candid and honest about this. I just don't see that there's going to be that kind of quantitative change in the way that the county currently provides funding, because if anything were to occur that would be detrimental to us, would be detrimental to the entire county and the two other systems, and there'd be a whole lot of folks weighing in on that as an issue from my perspective. So I think the county study is interesting, but I've made it the comment more than once. I didn't really understand why the county was going there, to be quite honest, and I still don't, respectfully. So, like I said, I think the county study is interesting. The results will be, I think, informative to whatever extent they go to. But at the end of the day, I'm not so sure it's going to have much of an impact, because if it's a dramatic change for us, it'll be forced to be a dramatic change for the North County, and I just don't see that happening. So those are my comments.
I'll just make a few comments before we call up our speakers. This is a process, a workshop, where we are looking at the financial fiscal timeline and when everything has to be done and the expense and trying to pull it all together and really not making any decisions tonight, just accepting the report and asking questions and learning more. But what I'm hearing from my fellow council members is definitely that we would like to be a response. I think we're all saying we would like to take over our city or our library at some point, but also with the full understanding and clear knowledge of what that will look like. And it's unfortunate that I think really the county's survey, their report is going to be really beneficial. We don't know what's that's going to say. We don't know if the county wants to take over and be their own system. We don't know. You know, I'm glad that you put in the 62,000. What is it, 680 number? Because that is a possibility that we just don't know until we know. So I think we have to look at it all. And I want to thank staff. I know it's been complex, and it's, every time I get another report, something's changed. And it's been a lot. And I'm sure it's hard for a lot of the folks out there listening to this to really understand it all. It's complicated, but. I don't hear any of us saying we don't want it. I just hear a lot of us saying, let's really realize what we're getting ourselves into and what it means, and then move forward. So with that, I'm going to call up from the county, George Chaplin.
Thank you, Mayor Perotti and the members of the City Council. Thank you for letting me speak. And staff did a great job. It is a complex issue, and I want to thank them also for clarifying the 780 per capita. That's by policy. That's a board policy to keep it at 780. That's the base. As you know, the last 2 years, they provided more. And we'll see how that goes in future years. And I know that libraries are important to them. Even with budget cuts, I think they kept it at the same level. As the county's population increases, they increase the amount to make sure at least it stays at the base level, 780. So it is important for the county. They did want me to express the county's need to be involved in this. The county does provide about 54% of the budget. If you ended up being a municipal library. CSA also, we're about 13% of that CSA, so all told about 67%. So they're interested in the governance. These are folks who normally wouldn't be represented by the city councils of any city, really. They're an unincorporated area. And so they're going to be represented by our supervisors, and I think there's going to be an interest in how this is formed, if it's formed, and what some of the governance is. So I did want to just kind of touch on that. Additionally, I think... the formation, the study, the RFPs are due August 16th. So we'll get those back on August 16th. We'll convene a review committee, review and interview the consultants, hopefully start them by October. I hope to go to the board with a contract by October and get them rolling as quickly as possible. And we'll see what we get out of that. It is all-encompassing. It's as much as we could put in there. I thought we'd get one bite at this apple, and let's do it right, and let's get all the information if possible. So we'll get that, and we'll certainly share it. That consultant's going to be meeting with the board, meeting with the library advisory committee, meeting with the cities as well. So they've got a huge task before them, but this is what they do. They're professionals. The other thing that may impact is, you know, a new zone. I think we also may have to take that to the state. I'm not sure. I'll check on that, but I don't know if you guys have checked on that, Michelle. But there is also the issue of if there is a new zone geographically, what does that do to Buellton and Solvang, and those are issues that probably will have to be negotiated with the county and also the city of Santa Barbara and you. So, you know, I appreciate the report. Danny did a great job. If there's anything else I can answer, it certainly will. But I'm waiting for the study. I think that's going to be very interesting as well.
Council, do you have questions? Mayor Bertam?
When is that expected to be completed?
Well, we're hoping if I can get to the board with a contract in October, early October, I'd probably give it about 6 months because there is so much information we're going to need from that board or from the consultant. And also, there's a lot of stakeholders that they have to meet with. They are definitely going to meet with the Library Advisory Committee several times, I would assume.
Just one other question. So presumably they're going to cover some of the biggest issues, obviously, that have emerged are the question of what are the service boundaries that are appropriate for us and so forth, and the costs, administrative expenses and overhead. They're going to be addressing each of those issues?
Yes, yeah. Okay. We asked them to take a look at specifically Santa Barbara's cost, the cost allocation, and the administrative fees. Is that appropriate? Is it not appropriate? How are other libraries doing it? I think we're kind of a unique model, from what I understand statewide. We're kind of unique. So they're going to compare our unique model to the others. And is there a better way to do it? Is there a different way? I'm not saying the county wants to take over library services, trust me. Maybe there's a different way to do it, and maybe we allow the cities to do their own libraries. So there's all kinds of models, I think, that they can take a look at.
And will they also consider different administrative models, in a sense? I mean, right now, as Councilmember Bennett mentioned, there's sort of a more, I don't know, autocratic, or if that's the right word for it, but that... the city of Santa Barbara administers and the city of Goleta and others receive. And there's, as others, the Friends and others can attest, there's been a sense of being divorced from having any role in decision-making and being part of it. Is one of the issues here, one of the goals that we would consider is other administrative mechanisms, board of directors, whatever it might be, but ways of giving a voice. So sure. We would have responsibility, whether in the system.
Yeah, and I think we will highlight that for them because we did ask them to look at different operating models and governance models, so we can ask them to look at that as well.
Good.
And
thank you.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, wait, I have another speaker, George Velez.
Madam Mayor, this is a workshop. How much time do I have? I want to start by saying, if you come up to the 100,000-foot level, there's really a couple of issues. One is finances and being fiscally responsible and being efficient and all that. And the other one, which just been alluded to toward the end, but is equally important, is what's our participation? How do we control our destiny? How are we a partner instead of a client? I thought Councilmember Aceves really was on it when he asked the question. He said, we've had declining or increasing deficits, but he asked, how come? And we had a lot of really good answers. In the same vein, we've seen charts that show that we can do it cheaper. And I would ask, how come? I haven't heard one reason of how come. Are we going to use non-union labor? Are we smarter? Why are we more efficient? Or is the city less efficient? Or is the accounting system messed up? Those are the only three possibilities. And without that insight, the numbers don't tell us very much. I think you need that insight. You need to ask yourselves and the people around here. And I'm not a librarian, nor do I play one on TV, but neither do you. And so we need that insight of why we can do it cheaper. I worked for a company where we constantly made the wrong decision when it was a make or buy decision. You are moving from a buy to a make decision if you decide this today or the next meeting. So I think you need that insight. Council Member Aceves asked another really good question, which is where are libraries going? And libraries are changing. They're evolving. Now, I would suggest that the answers to both of those questions are right square in the RFP. Look at the RFP. And again, that's done by a professional librarian, someone who understands finances, who should not just give us the answers, but should give us the insights to both of those questions. And the third question that person can get insights into is, how do we get participatory management? Because those are the three things we care, the things we care about: the future of libraries, efficiency, and participatory management. Now, I can understand why you're fed up and why you want to make a change, and the numbers are seductive. But I would say you don't want to rush in where angels fear to tread. I would say you are, have a chance to be informed by a study somebody else is paying for, to answer those questions with insight, to give the reasons why we can do it cheaper or not, the reasons why the accounting downtown is lousy or not, the reasons why libraries are changing and different models. And there could be a completely different model. Think big. Think about how other systems do it. We're the only ones who have this system. There must be better systems out there. Best practices. Why would we make a decision without knowing best practices?
You can keep going.
Thank you. I only have another minute.
It's really, for workshops, I don't think really time.
So as much as, first of all, I am agnostic on whether we should break away or not. In other words, I'm fine if we do, I'm fine if we don't. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you want to look before you leap? And as much as I agree, and we're pressed by deadlines, like there won't be a meeting until October and then we have to wait till spring. I get that. But I urge you to think about taking advantage of a study done by professionals, because none of us are professional librarians. I don't even know. I think I'd ask the question, are we going to pay people less than we should? Are we going to skip the unions, which some of us care about? I don't have that insight from the presentation. I'm going to end by saying that the problem with having 3 minutes or four is that it's weighted to comments and not enough time is given to thanking staff for a wonderful job. Really a lot of hard work, really insightful, and raising the right questions. And one of the things I came here for is to see the timeline. And I think that is the timeline that you have to decide. Are you going to go with that timeline, which I understand why it's there. You're not rushing anybody. You're just saying if you want to move into the next year, this is the timeline. We've waited a long time. Maybe we need to wait for that study. I urge you to look at the RFP for that study. It is thorough. It answers every one of the questions that I asked that I think are not answered. The numbers don't give the answers to the questions I asked. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Rellis. As always, it's insightful what you have to say, and I certainly have listened to what you said. But to answer some of your questions, the unionized employees, well, ours are unionized, so they choose to join that union. That would be what they could do. So that's going to have no effect. And the issue of rushing into something, I have a little problem with that because I've sat here for so long. We have paid thousands of dollars for two separate studies that were done on behalf of our city. And based on circumstances that we've been trying to get the information that the study, the Met study, offered up a proposal, but without the definitive information, things you're speaking to, because we continued to ask the city of Santa Barbara to provide that information. And over time, it just wasn't coming. And then for me, the management is a major issue, because I got the phone calls, I don't remember when it was, a year ago, 2 years ago, and I know I'm not the only one that did, when the library was going to be closed, I believe it was on Mondays, and we didn't know anything about that. That was a bit of a shock, and I was stuttering, I didn't know what to do. Our city manager was out of town at the time, so it was really interesting having this contractual relationship where in essence it says they're going to do this and they say they're going to consult with us, but they don't, and they haven't, and they've got a long record for that. And I'm not pointing out any one person, it's just the system and the manner in which it is. We had the same circumstance with the children's librarian. Everyone was of the thought that the children's librarian was going to get replaced, and then we were told about 4 months later, I believe, 5 months later. Oh, no, we're not replacing that position. Well, that came out to as a shock to all of us. When there were staffing changes, it's in the contract. They're supposed to consult with us when those things are supposed to go forward. So there's a long history here. As I say, from my point of view, we are not rushing into this. I'm not suggesting for a moment on the county study. I'm just incredibly disappointed because that holds us up. And you know what that's going to mean? Means if we want to keep the same level of service, we got two choices. We can take money out of the reserve fund, which I prefer not to do, or we come up with more general fund money, because you know what, next year it's going to be a heck of a lot more expensive. And it could very well be that instead of the 18%, they decide they're going to do something about which they talked about, full cost recovery, which would be a higher figure even still. And that puts us off for another year. That means that we then have to, we've already learned what the steps are, where we have to go with Black Gold first, with a recommendation from them, and then to the state of California. And it just makes me ponder a little bit and wonder, do these people really know what they're doing? Do they really think that they want to do this, since this isn't our first rodeo? We've been talking about this for quite some time, and we're closer now than we've ever been. We're farther along than we've ever been. So I'm just wondering, if I were a part of each of those groups, which have boards of directors who make decisions, if they would even consider us if we back out now and we say, nope, we're not going forward because we're going to wait for the county study, which is going to have all this great information. And then what if it doesn't? How many consultation studies have we had over time? And my time here, we've had some great ones, but we've had some that were real stinkers, in my opinion. So there's no guarantee that at the end of the day, when that free study is finished, it is in fact going to provide us the information we would need. And once again, we're another year behind the eight ball, where we haven't moved forward, we haven't made any changes, and it clearly is going to cost more money. It's not going to change. It will always cost more money. So that's my comments.
Well, I'm going to call, before I call, I'm going to call Rich Foster, because I overlooked him, and I apologize for that.
Well, I think we all know how Teresa Mays feels now. Divorce ain't ever easy, and it'd be nice to know going in that you're going to be better off. You know, am I better off with this person or without? Am I better off with the Santa Barbara or not? And you're never going to know. Although the general trend from all these graphs seems to be, if we have confidence in our staff, and it was a very nice presentation, that the trend is we're going to be better off financially without, wherever the library ends up. I agree. Before Mr. Bennett brought it up, how do we know 18% is the end? And he's answered that may not be the end. Yes, will there be cost to the city? Because you can't just say they're going to, well, if we limit coffee breaks, maybe we can pick up the cost. But there will be increased cost to the city. But at least the overall trend is our costs will be less, and we're not going to be looking at 18 or 20 or 22%. It's up to us to control that overhead administrative cost. Administrative costs are interesting things. I worked for this woman, and she had a contractor, and she kept wondering, why are the bills so big? And eventually she figured out that there was 23% P&O on everything, including every dumpster load at $800, everything else. Talked to a guy, he was a former vice president at HBO, and he wondered why his $70 an hour contract was so expensive. And a friend of mine was auditing this for him. He goes, well, you're paying $25 every day for every skill saw and $10 for every drill. They were sub, you know. So how other people do their bookkeeping is you're not really sure. But if you do it yourself, you know, you got some control over it. Secondly, I do think it's very important for local control, either to expand or contract. Maybe we suddenly get more money and we want to put more books in our library, that we're not necessarily divvying the pie up with everybody. I think if we want to try a parcel tax or any kind of assessment, it's a lot easier to sell to somebody that, you know, if I vote for a parcel tax here, that a certain percentage of it's not going to Santa Barbara or going to Lompoc or Santa Maria. So if you're looking at that eventually to raise revenue, I think it's the smaller the area is, the better. I do think that it's, you know, to pretend that somehow anybody from out west of the city is going to be going downtown is a somewhat of an egregious consumption, if that's what the county's going to say. As far as revenue, you know, I think a quarter a day for late fees is ridiculous. I mean, now, if you raise it too much, then people just get booked. You know, it's like cigarettes. You don't want everybody to quit or you lose the money. But at a quarter, you know, you could go up to a buck a day probably. You would get the same amount of fees. And secondly, I'm forever seeing them automatically renewing books for my wife, you know, and it's because she didn't get to it. Well, if you had a $1 fee for automatic renewal, okay, you've saved them a dollar a day late fee, but you've still got a buck for the renewal, which to some degree recoups the computer costs either way. I do think there's ways to increase revenue. I think overall, yeah, at some point you just got to say we're going to go for it. And perhaps somebody can answer this. If you vote to go for this and Black and Gold turns us down or something really horrible happens, you know, can you move forward and then change your mind, you know, and settle out of court, go back and stick with the existing system so that, you know, in one sense, you can move forward if you vote for it. If there is an exit strategy, if it doesn't work out or Black and Gold turn you down, if that was possible, then you kind of got both bases covered. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan.
Thank you.
Mike.
Gets me too. So, no, I want to echo, for one thing, that the status quo is not acceptable. That with what you described, for instance, Councilmember Bennett, the old children's librarian, the cutting hours, I mean, all of those things are sort of high-handed, sort of distant, you know, that's not acceptable management. But the first question I had, I guess to look at when we go forward. So if this were delayed, as Councilmember Bennett mentioned, that if this were delayed, there would be a perception on the part of Black Gold, for instance, and others of our, I don't know, fickleness or but I guess, so I'd like to know, if it were delayed, what are the pros and cons? What are the actual consequences if we put this off after the consultant report? What are we facing? What's the trade-offs that are involved? And that's the main thing. I guess the other thing I just wanted to observe is, at least from my perspective, I don't think of the libraries the equivalent of a franchise fund, that it has to pay its own weight, and that we have to, you know, get the money out of fees and fines and so forth. If we're putting money in out of other sources, I'm okay with that. So, maybe that's a philosophical discussion that we have to have going ahead, whether the library has to pay its own weight or not. But anyway, it's just an observation. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Seves.
I first came on this council,
and I think Councilman Bennett remember this, there was actually discussion about contracting out our library services. And the reason why that discussion came forward is because we saw a rising cost that we are incurring by maintaining the library being open. But we chose not to go that way. So we've been having this discussion here literally the last 10 years. The last 10 years talking about us running our library. We've been talking about that for 10 years. The issue about the county's study, first of all, I'm not happy with the fact that we're still in the RFP stages. We'll put it out in October, maybe sometime next year we'll get a report back. Well, that's great, but you got to remember why they asked for that study. They asked for that study because they were looking at justifying the monies that they're giving out of general fund to the different cities. That's what it was. You know, is the study going to tell them to give us more money? Is the study going to say, you know, the studies that we've had that shows that we don't have sufficient staff, we should have more staff? I don't know. We've done our own, like Councilman Bennett said, we've done our own studies. But it still comes back to the same place about, do we want to run our own library or not? Do we want to have control of our library or not? Do we not want to get that email saying we closed on Monday without our input? We're already maintaining the building. We're taking over a lot of the responsibilities or the bill paying. It drives me crazy to realize that we're paying a percentage, an administrative fee for someone to write a check. We got people here that can write the check and we don't have to charge anything. I mean, we can assume a lot of the responsibility and we can do it very efficiently. So I don't want to delay. We've got a time constraint. I would hope that when we come back, staff comes back with a lot of answers to the questions that we've asked. Hopefully you will have questions and email them to our staff so they can answer your questions at the next meeting so that we together can make the decision. Again, I leave it with you with the final question is, do you want to run your own city library or not? That's going to be bottom line. It's our library. In fact, it took literally an act of Congress. You'll remember this. Because it said County of Santa Barbara on the sign podium. We finally got a change to the City of Goleta, but it took, what, 8 years? 8 years to do that. But that gave us, you know, that told our community that we claim ownership of our library. Now, the final piece of that in claiming the ownership is by having our own library run by our own staff that meets your needs based on your input. So please respond to our staff. If you have questions, get it to them and give them enough time so they can get your questions answered either personally or publicly, depending on how you know what the questions are. But we need to respond to your questions and make sure when you come here in 2 weeks, is it 2 weeks? We have answered all the questions that you asked. So thank you.
Thank you. I have one quick question from Ms. Green about our contract with the City of Santa Barbara. Do we have that yet?
We don't have it yet. We've asked for it. Ms. Kai has actually been helping by communicating with the City of Santa Barbara's City Attorney's Office, but they have not provided us with that document for our review yet.
Okay.
For the current fiscal year.
Okay. Well, I want to thank staff. Thank you so much. Hard work. Well, great job. We'll be back on August 15th. And please send in your questions. I know that I have received a couple emails and maybe some of those questions haven't been answered. I will forward them on to you.
May I ask one question, please, to the city manager? For that meeting, obviously we're going to handle this at night again. I don't know what the agenda looks like, but is there any way of moving stuff around so that we have adequate time to deal with this issue?
Yeah, certainly that would be our objective, to make sure that we're not rushing this item because that won't benefit anyone. It'll make it too hard on council and the public.
And can I also request that since we have most of the information now already, we'll be adding a little bit more to it, that we get that out a little bit earlier for people because it is a lot to comprehend.
We will try. Okay. There were some questions asked tonight that we may not be able to get all the answers to have in the report if we do an early release. But we'll try and see if we can make that request.
In advance of that meeting, could we also get a copy of that RFP?
Sure, yeah. Dana can email that out tomorrow.
Great. Okay. Well, then this meeting's adjourned.